The popularity of the game Dead by Daylight is not really surprising. The gameplay model is similar to other successful online games, but more than that, it appeals to a dedicated group of people, horror fans. Fans of horror tend to be drawn like moths to a flame when new content related to their interests is born, and Dead by Daylight is not only entertaining on its own, but it honors the classics of the genre, new and old. Most of these are related to films, but there are video game references as well, including Silent Hill and Pyramid Head. For many, this game was their first introduction to the Silent Hill series, and Pyramid Head was probably the first and only character they knew from the games. Even before Dead by Daylight, he was the most recognizable and well-known face of the series. But why? Originally intended as a monster for a single game, his role was entirely silent. He was a strange blend of a boss fight and a hunter chasing the player, but he never quite chases you, and he never really fights you. Ultimately, he even kills himself. What is Pyramid Head? Who is he? What was he originally intended to be, and how did he become the figure he is now? A universally recognized face of horror, who has been in dozens of projects and games, far beyond Silent Hill 2. To discover that, we must go back to his birth and the man who created him, Ito Masahiro. Like his monster, Ito-san is one of the most famous and recognizable Japanese figures from the Silent Hill world. Involved in the art and monster design from the first three games, Ito-san had a significant impact on the series as a whole. He started with designing and modeling locations in the first game, alongside monster design, a task he shared with Sato Naoko. Most of his work was involved in locations at the time, but his experience and talent with monsters led him to become the sole monster designer of the second game. His art is haunting and visceral, heavily inspired by Western artists such as Francis Bacon, Caravaggio, Horst Janssen, and Magdalena Abakanowicz, as well as Japanese artists like Isamu Noguchi and Takayuki Takeya. From early on, his art was very industrial, graphic, and grotesque, with a heavy focus on depersonalization, the lack of humanity. Many of his art pieces involve a lack of faces and human features, a blend of machine and the body which creates horror and disturbs the viewer by how it distorts humanity. Something that Silent Hill 2 would embrace. Nearly every monster in the game would be a distortion of some aspect of the human figure and psyche, and would be tied to the mind of James Sunderland. A game that focused on psychology and the mental state of its protagonist, Silent Hill 2 would involve art design that implied psychosis, guilt, murder, and sexuality. Over the years, Ito-san has elaborated on these themes online, discussing his design choices and how they related to James. But one creature he's always hesitated to discuss is Pyramid Head. Fans have asked him, what's under the helmet? What does the creature represent? But he's always hesitated to answer with anything concrete. The allure of Pyramid Head comes from all the unanswered questions, in his opinion. But he has said certain things and connected pieces of the game to other media that reveals how he feels about Pyramid Head and what he intended the character to represent. At its heart, the character's design is very basic. He is a human figure wearing pale clothing with a large triangular helmet. The genius of the design is its simplicity. The gloves that give him strangely conjoined fingers, the helmet that hides his face and distorts his movements, the long blade that makes him stumble and walk slowly, all distort the humanity at the heart of him. We see something that should be a person, yet is wrong in so many ways, and it becomes off-putting. The helmet is sharp and jagged, based on the edges of tanks, specifically this image, which implies danger and discomfort. It looks incredibly heavy, a burden the beast must bear, as is his long and heavy sword. The sword is the first hint at Pyramid Head's origins, because it's not in fact a sword. It's one half of a pair of scissors, Ito-san confirms. The other half of the item is found in the labyrinth, and James is able to equip it. Doing so, he becomes Pyramid Head's other half, the reflection of the creature. They are two parts of one whole. Only James sees Pyramid Head. No one other than Maria appears when Pyramid Head is nearby, and it's likely he is a piece of James's mind, a part of his psyche. Many of the visual cues in the game are taken from a story with a similar motif, a movie that Ito-san loves, Jacob's Ladder. In a tweet, he comments that without the film, Silent Hill 2 would not exist as it is now, and that the idea of James being chased by a devil who was tearing his life away informed the character's creation. Early versions of the story imagined Pyramid Head as a creature who appeared in James's dreams, and there were going to be multiple versions of the creature. This would change, however, and an early beta that appeared at E3 would show just one creature, Pyramid Head, chasing James in the real world in the apartment buildings. The final version would include Pyramid Head as a creature who appears at regular intervals before the endgame, including his most infamous scene. During this scene, a long tongue is seen appearing from under the creature's helmet, very similar to a scene in Jacob's Ladder. Ito-san confirms the comparison, saying he intended it to be a reference, a way of implying that James was the one dreaming this creature. Just as the protagonist of the film is having hallucinations, trying to hide from the truth, James is also hallucinating this creature. There were other hints at this implication, though they didn't all work out as intended. Originally, seeing the painting of Pyramid Head at the museum, where he's seen holding a spear, would lead to the creature changing weapons. Unfortunately, the sword didn't work in the hospital corridor, which meant the spear had to appear early. But the intent was there, the implication being that James, seeing a picture of the creature, changed how the creature manifested, because it was James himself creating Pyramid Head. Early versions of the creature are all faceless in different ways, some with bag-like objects over their heads, which would evolve into the more triangular shape. Some of these designs may have led to Valtiel in Silent Hill 3, who Ito-san designed to be similar to Pyramid Head as a way of connecting the two titles. It would take a total of 5 weeks to finish work on Pyramid Head, a week to design the concept, 2 to finish modeling, texturing, and rigging the creature, another 2 to finish the keyframe animations, all of which was done in Soft Image 3D, likely in early 2001. The original concept for Pyramid Head wasn't popular with the team behind Silent Hill 2. Ito-san had to fight for the monster's inclusion, because the rest of the team felt he was too different, too strange to be appealing. At first, it seemed they were right. In Japan, the reaction to Silent Hill 2 was mostly negative to begin with. Was Pyramid Head a failure? Had he been a mistake? Not at all. While the game was controversial to begin with in Japan, Pyramid Head was quick to become a fan favorite. He was often called Triangle, Mr. Triangle, or Triangle Head, and fans loved him. In fact, fans loved him a whole lot, enough that they wanted him back. Western fans also loved Pyramid Head, but by the time of Origins, the creature was beloved and believed to be sacred to Silent Hill 2. He didn't need to be in any more titles. Western developers working on the series also fought to exclude him from later games, a decision that it seems Konami disagreed with, as did many Japanese fans. The beginning of Pyramid Head's modern legacy starts here, with a great difference of opinion between East and West. Western fans, a generally larger fan base, tend to prefer Pyramid Head as a creature solely belonging to Silent Hill 2, in part due to prominent fan arguments that gained traction in the West. Japan seemed to feel differently, When Origins was released, it came out in the West first, and Japanese chat rooms relied upon fans who bought and played the English version to give them details about the game. Questions about whether Pyramid Head was in the title were major. In fact, they wanted him back in everything. And it seems this may be the origin of Konami's desire to include Pyramid Head in more media, because Japanese fans wanted it. The smaller Japanese circles of fans didn't have as many prominent, loud fans with authoritative voices. In fact, by 2008, they didn't even have a personal wiki for Silent Hill anymore. And Japan happens to be very into mascots. Everything has one, including a lot of Japanese game series, like Shin Megami Tensei, for instance. In Japan, Pyramid Head kind of became Silent Hill's mascot. He was in a lot of other Japanese titles long before he appeared in Dead by Daylight, and when he was in the movies, Japanese fans loved it. They were far more lenient towards both films than the West was. In one promo for the movies, they had a Pyramid Head contest in which three men participated to see who would be the ultimate Pyramid Head. In the West, the larger fan base was far more divided on opinions about Pyramid Head and his role. But in video game fandom as a whole, Pyramid Head was a hugely recognizable and beloved figure. There were a few years where you couldn't go to a convention without seeing at least one Pyramid Head cosplayer. Today, he's still a major part of fan works and a recognizable meme in many jokes. People who only watch Silent Hill streams, or play Dead by Daylight, or know nothing of Silent Hill, still love and share Pyramid Head content. But why? He was never intended to be more than James's reflection, a dark angel on the man's shoulder meant to forcibly guide him towards the truth. If we take Ito-san's interpretation as straight fact, Pyramid Head simply cannot exist without James, because he is James. He is part of him. He has designed other triangular monsters, but specifies that the red Pyramid Head belongs to James. The White Hunter, designed for a promotional piece for Origins, has a white helmet and a different weapon to differentiate him from the original creature. But in the films, in Homecoming, Pyramid Head exists without his point of origin. He's there because he's popular. But why is he so popular? He has no voice, no history, or personality. He doesn't chase the player or hunt them down the way Mr. X and Nemesis from Resident Evil do. When you compare him to other popular monsters, he's very unique and different, and yet has such powerful staying power that he's still recognizable and still around more than 20 years later. The truth is, Pyramid Head fulfills a role, a niche that had, until him, been incredibly empty. And whatever his original intentions were, Ito-san created a creature that may have a lasting place in gaming and horror forever, with or without James Sunderland. Culture needs monsters. While horror media may be a small niche that isn't enjoyed by everyone, monsters are universal. Everyone loves them and recognizes them. How many people have actually read Frankenstein or seen the films? Or read Dracula and seen those films? But most everyone in Western society, and many other cultures besides, know these creatures. People who know nothing of the stories have probably dressed as the Count himself for Halloween, or enjoyed a joke or a meme online about the Vampire Lord. He's a cultural touchstone. He's universal, a representation of our greatest societal fears and our repressed cultural desires. Horror over the years has evolved to include other very recognizable monsters from books and film. Freddy Krueger, Jason, Sadako. They're all recognizable to the average person on the street, who may not know what they're from, who they are, or what their story is. But they know the ghost girl who crawls out of the TV, and they'll laugh at the clip from Scary Movie of the girl beating up the ghost when she enters her living room. Sadako's part of our culture now. We know her. We're afraid of her, even if we've never watched The Ring. Horror video games haven't caught up to other media franchises in the same way. Amnesia and Outlast are famous names, But how many people in the average gaming culture recognize the monsters from these games or can even name them? In recent years, this has changed somewhat. There was a time when everyone knew Mr. X, and recently the big lady from Resident Evil 8 took the internet by storm. But no one has had the power, the appeal, and the popularity of Pyramid Head. Dead by Daylight is proof. In this game, he stands next to horror legends like Freddy and the Hell Priest, one of the few monsters in the game to represent video games rather than books or film. Resident Evil is there as well, but the monsters are far less recognizable by comparison. Gamers are more likely to recognize Leon than they are Nemesis, but everyone knows Pyramid Head. People joke about him. They share videos and art, even if they've never played Silent Hill 2 and might not know what James looks like. Pyramid Head fills a niche that gaming culture needed filled, a representation of horror and desire in the abstract. The monster under the bed, the creature in the closet, our Dracula, our Frankenstein, gaming's own primary beast is Pyramid Head. It may not be what he was intended for. It may be completely outside the context of Silent Hill 2 and his existence in the story, but it's an important role to play. Which is why, while many fans are rightly upset about his strange appearances in other Silent Hill titles, I'm not. I understand why he's there. It's because we want him. It's because we need him. It's because he frightens us, and we simply cannot get enough. Thank you for listening to this week's Silent Hill Symbolism. This one was a little bit of an experiment, blending the research-heavy style of my history videos with the personal opinions of my symbolism videos. Please let me know what you think. If you like my work and would like to support it, please consider becoming a member on Patreon or through YouTube membership, or you can buy my books on my Ko-fi page. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you all next time.